It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk, episode 4.
Kirk, Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness, the podcast, episode
4.
Not to be mistaken with episode 0.
Yeah, no, we're not going back to that.
No, we're in episode 4.
You already see people have trouble with that.
We're calling this the history of medicinal cannabis.
Yeah, we're going back through some of the history of cannabis laws and where stuff is going. And we'll probably do more history later because I think the only thing you like more than the legal stuff is the history stuff. So
I'm a history buff. I've always enjoyed looking back.
But we'll at least give them a taste of the history.
We're going to start this episode, Reefer Madness, with the Chris Barker Band. This is a local family band. They're a rock and roll band, and they're a great social band. So let's start off with the lead song from their album, Feel the Fire.
Some people rock, some people sway. Some feel the night, some see the day. All that they want, what they say. To hear what it takes, break
band. They were great.
Yeah, good party band.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast.
So, you know what? We're going to get into the pharmacy and the history of medicinal marijuana, and you brought in a pitch hitter, you dude.
I did. Dr. Brenna Shear is going to be my champion. Kind of like a trial by combat in Game of Thrones. I want to fight my battle and prove my worth to the realm. Brenna, will you be my champion? And what's your official title again?
Yes. Well, I'm the CEO with Pharmacist Manitoba, and I have been fortunate to work with the wonderful community pharmacists in Manitoba for the past 5 years. And our role is to improve the recognition and compensation of pharmacists in the province, to unify and advance the pharmacy practice and profession, and to inspire excellence in practice and promote the value of pharmacist professional services. We have a board of directors that includes 9 pharmacists from around the province, both rural and also urban. And we work really hard to make sure that pharmacists have important information and government policy decision makers and funders, both provincially and federally, recognize the role of pharmacists and engage pharmacists in productive services and great health care to all of the people that live in Manitoba.
That's great. Now, when people ask me, sir, what's the difference between the College of Pharmacy and Pharmacist Manitoba, I say the college are the people who license me, and the Pharmacist Manitoba are the people who sort of promote pharmacy. Is that a fair way to describe Pharmacist Manitoba?
It is. So the College of Pharmacists of Manitoba is a regulatory body enacted by law to protect the public, to license and monitor pharmacist services and license pharmacists for practice. We, on the other hand, are the advocacy body, so we promote the role of pharmacists. We increase the scope of practice and hopefully as an insured benefit. We educate the public about the services. We provide education to pharmacists, and we negotiate contracts for the fees for services.
Fantastic. So we are sort of looking at different parts of cannabis and how it's coming and changing, and it seems every day it's in the news, something new and exciting is happening. So let's start with just the really basic question. Does Pharmacist Manitoba think cannabis should be sold in pharmacies?
Yes, we believe that pharmacists have a significant and valued role in the dispensing and the distribution of medical marijuana to the public, to those who are in need of medical marijuana. We are in line with the Canadian Pharmacists Association in that position and view.
That's great. Now, I think you brought up an important distinction not everyone would have caught. So does Pharmacist Manitoba think that recreational and medicinal marijuana or cannabis are different things and should be treated differently?
They are very distinctly different products. Before I answer that, I just want to give a little bit of history about medical marijuana across Canada.
Absolutely.
To help understand why we've come to the position of where pharmacists may fit and the value that they offer. So medical marijuana was legalized in Canada in 2001. It's gone through a number of different acts and reiterations, but it's the basis of it is to allow eligible patients to become registered users to access marijuana for medical purposes through Health Canada or grow marijuana for their own use. Most recently in 2016, the Access to Cannabis for Medical Purposes Regulation came about, and that was really to enable producers to have a better regulatory framework and to expand cannabis oil, fresh marijuana buds and leaves, in addition to dried marijuana, to allow authorized users to possess and alter different forms of cannabis. So we've really had a good 16 years of experience with access to medical marijuana for those in need in our province and in our country. And we've been able to understand the concerns and issues with the current industry framework, and this has led to questions relating to an increased role for healthcare professionals in its management. So with the move to establish legalized recreational marijuana across the country by this summer in 2018, now is a really good time to review any current and potential issues and evolve the access, distribution, safety, and improved management options for medical marijuana. So now back to your question, why it's important to differentiate between recreational and medical marijuana. So although they're derived from the same plant, there are important differences between medical and recreational marijuana. So, for example, medical users may seek out strains and forms to alleviate symptoms while minimizing intoxication, whereas recreational users may primarily be taking marijuana for euphoric effects. Experience in other jurisdictions has demonstrated the importance of differentiating medical and recreational marijuana by restricting product strains and forms, as well as establishing distinct access channels for medical marijuana. One of our concerns is that the existing shortcomings in the medical marijuana regime could be exacerbated with the move to legalize recreational marijuana if there are not policies, practices, and incentives employed to clearly identify and differentiate between the two markets. So the move to legalize marijuana for recreational purposes could create harm for Manitobans and thousands of Canadians who use marijuana for medical purposes if, for example, cost and access are more attractive in the recreational market. should this be the case, some patients may choose to access their supply through the recreational market, leaving them with no medical oversight, which could increase health complications for high-risk patients. And we know that about 8% of Canadians that use marijuana for medical purposes obtain it through legal channels. This means that the majority of those using medical marijuana are either growing it at home or more likely obtaining it from the illicit market, where quality and safety measures are unclear. So moving forward in time, the concern that these individuals may switch access to recreational marijuana outlets is a real and justified concern.
Thank you. That's very thorough. And some of this is from the CPHA or Pharmacists Canada study that they had KPMG help them put together. And yeah, so I just want to sort of flip again to something that came straight out of the study. They seem to have six sort of overriding principles they thought that might be useful for having medicinal marijuana in pharmacies. So they thought protecting patient and public safety, just the one we were just talking about, differentiating between medicinal and recreational marijuana. And number three was reducing risk to patients through evidence-based clinical practice. So I assume that's one of the arguments that Pharmacists Manitoba would also make for why having the, we'll call it the medicinal end of things through pharmacies with a healthcare profession?
Yes. So all healthcare professionals need better information and evidence from research and studies to understand what the guidelines should be and how marijuana interacts with other drugs in a medication regime. Everybody can benefit from that. And since the original study that was done with the Canadian Pharmacists Association and KPMG back in March 2016, more associations, more national bodies have come out with the same recommendations, recognizing that the public needs more information, healthcare professionals need more information, and specifically, there are some clinicians, so physicians and nurse practitioners, who can prescribe now for people to be eligible and access medical marijuana through the Health Canada channels. Not all of them understand the information, research, benefits, harms, and interactions, and may not be supportive of that medication prescription. And so people do go to the illicit market to get different types and forms of marijuana, thinking it's medicinal. So we really need more information to help us process, understand, plan, and provide the best services. And pharmacists are the medication experts. They are the important people in the healthcare team to help everybody manage their medications, especially people who are taking medical marijuana often have other medications that they are taking. And so you increase the risk of interactions if you're not sure where the strain or form is coming from, you don't understand the clinical evidence, you're looking at dosage. And so pharmacists are the healthcare professional amongst the team with the patient and other healthcare providers that helps to provide that review, monitoring, evaluation, and support to improve the medication management.
No, I think that's an excellent point. I'll toot the pharmacist's horn, and Kirk, my nurse, can, you know, tear me down later. But it's come up, you know, already. I've got two or three people in our various care homes who are on the medicinal marijuana that has come sort of directly from the licensed producer to the patient. But the only way I knew that these patients were on it was because the doctor sort of had me help the families fill out the paperwork and get it all done. Theoretically, they could have, you know, completely skirted the pharmacist. And although, you know, we're responsible for every other medication that goes into that care home and the interactions and everything else that goes on with properly getting patients to safely use their medications in the care home, because of the way it's set up now, I would have had no idea the patient was even on medicinal marijuana, because right now it can't go through my pharmacy, the best of my understanding. So I'm obviously biased, but I agree there should be at least some way of having medicinal cannabis go through a pharmacy.
Absolutely. So it goes back to, you know, what is the benefit of separating the sale of the products? And that's really to ensure that marijuana used for medical purposes has a focus on healthcare professional oversight which improves patient safety, enabling patient education and the healthcare provider's support and counseling for that purpose, and includes review and monitoring of potential medication interactions and contraindications, and health profession support to manage those interactions. And that's really the starting point, is the pharmacist. And, you know, marijuana is a drug with potential health impacts, including drug interactions and negative effects from smokable forms. And with more than 400 chemical agents, our understanding of the long-term effects of marijuana as well as the health benefits continues to evolve. And we need continued research into the effects of marijuana that are critical to ensure that pharmacists and healthcare providers have the appropriate knowledge of this drug and patients use marijuana as safely as possible. But having pharmacy become part of the system for medical marijuana distribution, access, and management is really important. So we have in Manitoba the Drug Product Information Network. Right now, when people access medical marijuana, it's coming from a licensed producer. There are 69 in the country, of which two are in Manitoba. And nothing goes through the healthcare professional current network of information. If it was coming from a pharmacy to the patient directly in their community, you improve access, of course. You increase the healthcare professional ability to provide education, counseling, support, and management. But you also have a way to collect information about use, dosage, and quality, which improves a patient's healthcare system and is really valuable to you as a pharmacist and anyone as a pharmacist and any other healthcare provider, physicians, nurses, nurse practitioners in the care of the patient.
That's a great point. Actually, I hadn't thought of that for those who haven't heard of it before, the DPIN network that Brenda was just talking about. If you went and got your blood pressure pill in, you know, Lactobani, and then your cholesterol pill in Winnipeg, and then you filled something else in Grandview, Manitoba, the pharmacist would be able to see what you got in the different places and know we're not just spying on you, but we can see if there was an interaction or problem with something you filled at another place. And physicians have access to it, emergency rooms have access to it. So if the medicinal cannabis isn't in that system, then, you know, there's a big blind spot. I just want to switch gears just quickly before I let you go back onto this one, because I know it's going to come up. So I know some of my other rural colleagues, because, you know, some of us are in quite small towns, have the pharmacy and the liquor store in the same building. So does Pharmacist Manitoba have any thoughts about whether recreational marijuana should be in pharmacies too, or just medicinal, or do we have any thoughts one way or the other?
Certainly. Most of the responses and the focus of our communication, both nationally and provincially, has been on the medical marijuana. And that's because of its relationship within a medication regime for patient health care, patient safety, like any other drug. One of the pieces that we have to remember is the National Association of Pharmacy Regulatory Authorities, which is NAPRA, of which each provincial regulatory body has a position on. And just this July in 2017, NAPRA's position is very, very specific in that pharmacy practitioners must not be involved in the distribution of cannabis for non-medical purposes. And that for that reason, we've stayed in the direct focus of the role of the pharmacist and the value of the pharmacist in being engaged with medical marijuana and leaving the recreational marijuana in provincial government's decision as to how they want to implement it. And across the country, we have a real patchwork approach, right? So Ontario, the province is going to sell recreational marijuana through 150 government-run stores. Alberta is looking at, somewhat similar to our Liquor Commission, a government-run scenario and looking for public feedback. And New Brunswick is going to do it most likely through their liquor setup. In Manitoba, wholesaling and distributing in quality is going to be through our Manitoba Liquor and Lotteries Commission, but is going to be sold through retail outlets. And given NAPRA's position, we have not challenged the role of the pharmacy in selling recreational marijuana at this point in time. I am not sure, given our province's current position on, it's called a hybrid model for recreational marijuana, if that will be challenged by anybody.
No, fair enough. And I'll throw in my two cents. I would just as soon see it stay separate, have medicinal marijuana go through a pharmacy and recreational go through another outlet. So Brenna, both Kirk and I, when we talk to our respective licensing colleges, we're being told, you know, just take a wide path around cannabis. Don't ever be seen as promoting it. You know, in pharmacy world, we're told don't even let it sort of darken the threshold. What would you, if I had the registrar of the College of Pharmacy in front of me, what would you tell me to say to them to possibly convince them to change their mind?
Pharmacists are the medication experts. We know from the current medical marijuana system that's in place, access is an issue, and not everyone who's using it for medical purposes is procuring it from licensed producers. So enabling access through a community pharmacy improves people's use and access to the right kind of marijuana for their medical purposes and enables healthcare practitioner oversight, involvement, support, and management. And inclusion of pharmacists in distributing medical marijuana improves not only medical management, but also interdisciplinary care relationships between the patient, the pharmacist, and other providers. And this improves the quality and monitoring of patient care and potentially mitigates and reduces the cost of healthcare services when adverse events or medication interactions require medical attention or acute medical services. And pharmacy is accustomed to managing controlled substances such as narcotics as part of a standard of practice. Measures include secure storage, security mechanisms to deter diversion, theft and robbery, and a well-established infrastructure to enable product traceability for recalls. So as a secure supply chain, a staple strength of community pharmacy enables regulated processes similar to those used for controlled substances and narcotics. And this process that's already in place seems to be the most effective process to date in our country. So the required infrastructure is already in place. Pharmacy is well equipped to handle controlled substances. And pharmacy is part of the distribution and dispensing system already. Pharmacists have experience in medication and a broader healthcare management knowledge, and pharmacists are a unique asset to medical marijuana as a healthcare treatment and medication option. And we know that pharmacists are often a person's first point of contact into the healthcare system. And if we look also at other healthcare professionals in the province, everybody's part of a person's team. There are some that prescribe, some that monitor, some that educate and counsel, some that monitor and make sure that medication management works. And I think the current system of medical marijuana access, while it's been in place since 2001 and we're fortunate in this country to have such a system in place, I think we have enough knowledge to know that we need to improve the direct patient care, direct patient access, and better safety and education for the patient. And I think now we can say we should do that by a greater involvement of our local community of healthcare practitioners.
Well, that's fantastic. I couldn't have said it better myself. And just so finally, any other thoughts from you personally or Pharmacists Manitoba in general about cannabis pharmacies and sort of where things may or may not be going in the next 6 months or so?
Well, we've submitted a response to the expression of interest that our provincial government asked, looking at distribution, supply, and retail of recreational cannabis was the expression of interest. And we submitted that in September jointly with the Canadian Pharmacists Association. And again, our focus was on medical marijuana and the valuable role of pharmacists in improving the infrastructure and the services and healthcare we can provide to Manitobans. We have not heard anything back to date, but we are open and hopeful that we'll be part of the discussion and engaged in discussions now that we know that the two streams of marijuana will be distinct and hopefully talking with our government about how pharmacists can be engaged and become part of the system for medical marijuana to benefit patient health.
Okay, that's fantastic. And Kirk's got one final little thing that might lead into some of our other future interviews. During Pharmacists Manitoba or the Canadian Pharmacists Association research, did anybody look at, we'll call them the gray area dispensaries at all, and how they're running, or has that sort of been outside of the proposals that were put in?
No, some of the research that KPMG and CPHA have done have identified that since legalization of marijuana has come up and is coming to be, there are a number of shops that have opened up selling marijuana. They use the term dispensary. They sometimes have the green cross symbol to make it look like a healthcare. And people are confused and think that those are sites where they can get medical marijuana or medical grade and use it for medical purposes. And that's become an issue and a concern and a very strong recommendation, not only from the Canadian Pharmacists Association, Pharmacists Manitoba, but also the National Association of Pharmacists Regulatory Authorities, is that those terms shouldn't be used in the retail market for recreational marijuana, because we don't want people who need marijuana for medical purposes to be confused about what type of marijuana they're getting and what's the best purpose of it. And I'll call that the gray area. And again, going back to the illicit sale of marijuana, if only 8% that are using it for medical purposes are acquiring it from a licensed producer, that means 92% aren't. There's a good proportion, a good chance that a proportion of those are going to the illicit market where you don't have good quality controls. You may not know what you're getting. And we really need to ensure that the cost for recreational marijuana is consistent with the cost of medical marijuana, so that people don't choose the recreational stream because it costs less and it's more affordable. And that whatever, you know, retail outlets are there, don't use the word dispensary, don't use that green medical cross, so that the public can differentiate the differences as well.
Oh, those are excellent points, especially the cost one. That just, again, it can't go through the pharmacy, but just talking to patients, you know, people who are getting their medicinal marijuana from the licensed producers, you know, are telling me, you know, they could be spending $100 a month on their product, which, you know, is not the world's most expensive thing, but, you know, if they could go down to the recreational store and get it for 20, you know, you could see why they might.
Yeah. Cost and sales tax, all of those pieces have to be considered, discussed, and decided upon, and make sure that both streams of marijuana, both markets, are consistent in whatever the decision is and the policies are.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Brenna, thank you very much for your time. This has been very interesting. We've learned a lot, and keep up the good work, because, you know, pharmacists are great and should be promoted.
Yes, we believe pharmacists are great. We know they're great. We know that the public thinks they're great, too. So thank you for the opportunity. This has been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate the time that you've taken to ask us for our opinion and allow us to promote the role of pharmacists in healthcare in Manitoba.
All right, that was wonderful. Another bright person talked to us.
Yeah, she was fantastic. It really, really nice that she gave us the time, and she's so well-spoken.
Yeah, it was a good interview. Hey, who are we?
We're Reefer Medness. Who are you?
I'm Reefer Medness, the podcast. I'm Kirk the nurse.
I'm Trevor the pharmacist.
Yeah. So what do we want people to do?
Come on back next time.
Well, we want them to first go into reefermed.ca.
And all the social medias.
And all those social medias. And, you know, we're building a database on our webpage. So all of these papers and we're talking about, you don't need to search cannabis on that.
Just
Google.
Follow the links at reefermed.ca.
Yeah, there's lots of links there, guys.
Hey, Kirk, before we end this podcast, guess what this sound is?
All right, that's typical Canadian, man. That's got to be a hockey rink.
That is a hockey rink. I know one of the guys in the Chris Barker band. His name's Curtis Flett, and his daughter has played hockey with my daughter for years. This year, that was sound from a AAA midget female hockey game. And Jada, the player in question, she's actually going off to the Manitoba Winter Games to play hockey. So there you go. There's my connection to the band.
Connection to the arts.
Connection to hockey and the arts.
Hockey.
Hockey and the arts.
All right. So we're going to go out. We're going to go out with the song by the Chris Barker Band. And the song is called On the Side of Lonely. Reefer Madness, people, the podcast.
Come on back.
Come back.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermad.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next. It's Reefer Madness, the podcast.
Well, I was somewhere down lonely highway. Left some fun behind me, had another place to go. Had some wrong ends, kind of trouble wanders ahead. Made me think about back when I used to take you home. Since May we may do the best we can. Live a life we'll get through. Somewhere on the side of lonely, I'm not the only. All behind you, see, live life like a rolling stone. This old highway, straighter than the prairie, but it feels so empty. But baby, this is my home. It seems to me we may do the best we can. Live life. City, the bright lights see me down another old road soon.